gospel. We see how God opened the door of faith, and my friend, it's still open today, isn't it? It's still open today. God hasn't shut the door. We're not in heaven yet. We can still pray for souls, weep for souls, and win souls. Go out and talk to people. Now, the door of evangelism, has been set, is right before us. It's set right before us. It's not something God hides. He doesn't do this in a closet. We know exactly God's will for the Christian is to go and preach the gospel, to tell people about how to be saved. And here this door is right before us, but sadly, many of us have never gone through it. Now, I want you to think today, have I gone through the door of evangelism? Have I ever once shared my faith with anybody? I'm not even asking you if you won somebody. God does the winning, amen? But have you spoken to somebody? Have you shared with somebody what God's done in your life? Have you told them how Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and he rose again to pay for their sin debt? And he's able to give them eternal life. You know, there's 4 million souls in Ireland. There's 25,000 in Ballincollig. Every one of them is a door. Because a door is an opportunity to walk through and share your faith with somebody. Hey, come on. God has commanded us to go into all the world. All the tools of the modern age. We have everything at our disposal. But why are we so ineffective? I mean, I just put a list, computers for information. We have maps at our fingertips. We have cell phones for communication. Cars for transportation. You can even get on a bus and you're in Cork. I mean, GPS on an iPhone. On a phone, you can know where you're going. Amen? That's good for men because we're never lost. Even when we are never lost because we have our iPhones now. It's down here. They can't see it. We know where we're going. But let me just tell you, we get instant cash from machines. We can get instant fast food. We have all these things at our disposal. But these things will never take the place of one person just submitting themselves and surrendering themselves and obeying the Great Commission. They'll never take place of one man, one woman, surrendering herself to God and saying, I'll do what you told me to do. iPhones don't make you a better preacher or a better soul winner. A man can do a lot of things with these tools, and most Christians, though, are ensnared by the very tools that they have to work with. That's what's enslaved them, and they pay no heed to the souls of people that are lost right around them. They're more concerned about all these toys that they have, and they refuse to let go of the things of the world. If you're spending 5 hours in front of a TV, you are ensnared by the devil. That one-eyed monster has got you ensnared. Games. And these things on these, whatever you call them, these computer games and all this stuff. It's ensnared us. And we can't reach the world with the gospel. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. God doesn't need your iPhone. God needs your heart. God wants you to surrender your life to him and be what he's made you to be, and that is a witness. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, it says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. We not only are soldiers in the battle, right? We're to keep ourselves away from the things of the world that would keep us from following our commander and doing what he's called us to do. Jesus Christ has called us to tell people about his son. But also we're to do it the right way. So that when we gain the victory, we've done it lawfully. We've done it the right way. It's just called living for the Lord Jesus Christ, surrendering your life to him, and doing his will. And you're a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you didn't choose him, he chose you. And he wants you to please him with our lives. Amen? Now, Michael Morgan gave me a good illustration. He told me that he was out walking the dog, and then he said, really, the dog walks him. I mean, just, you know, you ever see those people that are walking the dog? The dog's walking them. And he said, But Dan, let me tell you, the dog got hold of a bone, or he gave them the bone, but he wanted the dog to surrender the bone back to him. And he was trying to get the bone out of the dog's mouth, and the dog doesn't let go of a bone. So what did Michael do? He pinched off his nose.
He pinched off his nose, and the dog started to talk like this.
No. He pinched off his nose. You know what the dog did? He breathed through his mouth, and he held on to that bone. Right, Michael? He said, I'm not letting go of the bone. So what's the challenge this morning? It's to pinch off our nose and let go of the bone that you're holding on to that's keeping you from serving the Lord. Now, that's just one little thing I want you to think about. God's going to have to pinch off your nose so you let go of that thing that's keeping you from soul winning. Now, there's a whole bunch of things. It could be just the lure of the world. It could be the things of the world. It could be fear. I don't know what I'd do if I ever got to a door and they asked me, you know, I just wanted to give them the track and run away. And they said, hey, do you have anything to tell me? No. Just read that, you know, that God would pinch your nose off, you know, and you'd let go of the fear. God never gave you a spirit of fear. You're living for the devil if you have that spirit of fear. You're allowing him to control your mind and your heart. So it might just be apathy. You don't care. How can you not care about people in your own house, in your own family that aren't saved? You need a broken heart. But I'm going a little bit different direction today. Because it's biblical. But I don't want you to think that laziness is an excuse or self-will is an excuse. Challenge is pinch off your nose. God's trying to get you to let go of those things and go out and be a soul winner. Now the goal is Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what God said. Where are the gates at, on heaven or hell? They're on hell. Who's supposed to be on the offensive here? Us. Jude says snatching them. Some just save them. Just snatch them the last minute. They're almost in the fire. Snatching them out of the fire. We're supposed to be on the offensive and have the victory. Hell can't stop us. Those gates, it says, shall not prevail against us, the church. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And Christ is building his church. And guess what? I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of Jesus Christ building his church. And I hope you want to be part of that also. So, the doors of evangelism. The first door is an opportunity to obey his commands. Just an opportunity to obey his command. Now look at John chapter 14. In John chapter 14. Verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you know anything about paragraphs, that means there's a thought that's coming. Do you know that thought doesn't stop for two or three chapters? If you love me, keep my commandments. And as the Apostle John writes, he just keeps writing under that same thought. If you love me, keep my commandments. Powerful. The most strongest word in there is if you love me. Keep my commandments. It's a commandment. Could be in John chapter 15 and in verse 16, look what it says. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The first command is to go. It's a command to go. He didn't say, if you love me, keep my suggestions. Keep some advice I'd like to give you. If you love me, keep my commandments. It is not an option to be a soul winner. It is not an option to share your faith. It's a command. God's looking for obedience in the heart. He's not looking for a show on the outside. He's looking for an obedience in the heart. I can tell you how awful hell is. And I have before. We know the fire of hell. We know the awful wailing and the weeping, it says, and the gnashing of teeth, without God, without hope, without light, forever. I can tell you about hell. You've heard about hell. You know about hell. I can tell you how much God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his own son. And I can tell you over and over how valuable a soul is to God. You know these verses. For what shall a profit a man if he gain the whole world and shall lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what God said how valuable a soul is? Here's a soul. Here's Calvary. That's how valuable a soul is to God. That he sent his own son to die on the cross for one soul. So it's valuable. And I could tell you about that too. And I could break your heart, and I'd break my own heart if I told you all the stories and about my own family, or you thought about anybody that's unsaved in your family and they're unrepentant, that they're going to go to hell if they die. And I could break your heart with that. And we get emotional when we sing these songs. And good, because it's directing us into the truths of the Word of God. Because the truth is that we've been commanded to go. And when the emotions aren't there, we're still supposed to go. Amen. Now that's what I'm trying to get across to you today. That it's a command from the Scriptures to go. Now, that's not going to endure the long haul. Emotions, feelings, they're not going to last. Your heart's not always going to be broke like it might be right now for somebody after you heard that song, The Value of One. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye affecteth my heart. But first, you got to see it. You got to go. When I got in the bus ministry, I did it because I just obeyed the Lord. But boy, once I saw kids, it broke my heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart. It starts with obedience to what God's already clearly laid out before us. You know, how does Wesley... I found out Wesley preached some 10,000 sermons and traveled thousands of miles on horseback when many of us have not reached one soul. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Obedience. He's just obeying the Lord. He's just doing what God's told him to do. That's all. You think he liked riding around on horseback everywhere? Maybe having no place to sleep? Preaching and preaching and preaching until he's got a good sweat going and go home and lay up for a few hours and go out and preach again. He was just obeying the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Who are you following? Psalm 126, verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weep with bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 126, 6. I want you to turn to Mark 16:15, though. But you see the command? He that goeth forth. First thing you got to do is you have to go. Mark 16:15. Familiar verses. It's not a matter of not knowing, is it? It's a matter of obedience. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right, there it is. There's the command. Now look at verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. God, give us a heart like those apostles to obey a simple command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they went forth everywhere and preached. It's just simply a command. Acts 1:8. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is evangelism month. But really, it would be good if you came out just because you were brokenhearted. But you won't keep coming out until you just simply say, I'm just supposed to do this. This is obedience to the Word of God. I'm pleasing my Lord when I do this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So it's not just we're supposed to know it, we're supposed to do it. Ye shall be witnesses. We have the power of God residing in us, the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Word of God, but we won't go and tell people how to be saved. Because we are being disobedient to a clear command from the Bible. Now that's what I want you to look at. That's what I want you to see. I want you to come up against this book and say, am I doing what God's called me to do? Am I doing a simple command? Am I going into all the world and preaching the gospel? He said, you're witnesses unto me. Now if you're full of Jesus and you're full of this book, you'll be a witness unto him. He said, I want you to be witnesses unto me. Testify of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the reason we can't testify is because we don't know what the book says. We haven't been prayerful. We don't know anything about Jesus. Well, he wants us to be witnesses of him. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And in verse 18. Well, it's in 16 it says, Acts 5:16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go to verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you? Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Yeah. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Yeah. Now do you see? There was a command from God, go stand and speak. I'm opening the prison door, get out there and do what I've told you to do. Yeah. They go and do it. The world says, didn't we tell you not to do that? And Peter says, but I'm going to obey God rather than men. Now, who are you going to obey? We need to decide to obey God and not men and not ourselves. Don't obey your own will. Obey the will of God. They were commanded to go stand and speak. You got to make a decision. There's God's command. There's man's commands. There's your own heart telling you, condemning you and telling you not to do it, maybe. But we have to make a decision that we're going to do what God's told us to do. But we have a great commission in Matthew chapter 28. Look at Matthew 28. You see, it's a command. And almost in the same vein, it's a commission. We're being sent forth to do something. We have a charge. We have a duty. And in Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is called the Great Commission. A commission is action. God's given us a great commission to go and do something. It carries with it action, you see. There was a time when a young lieutenant or a cadet would be given a commission. This is your first commission, son. Here are your orders. Now he's been in the service for a while. Now he gets his first commission. And he finds out, wow, I'm probably the captain of some big aircraft carrier or something like that. And he looks at his orders. It's just a supply tender. It's just the oil supply ship. It's just the mail ship. And it's this little old scrubby-looking tugboat or something. That's my commission. But it was his charge to carry out that duty. You see, that was his commission. You know what? We've been given a great commission. And guess what our ship is? It's the old ship of Zion. And it's a rescue ship. And we're supposed to be out there rescuing souls, amen? Now, you've been given that commission. And it's a great commission. But it seems to me that the Great Commission has turned into the Great Omission. Did you hear what I said? We've gone AWOL. AWOL is absent without leave. AWOL. You are away from your post, and God's never given you leave to go and just leave your post. As a Christian, as a witness, God's given you a commission. And we're absent without leave. The Great Commission has become the great omission. And we become negligent, really, in our duty to the Lord. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, is winning souls a good work?
Yes.
Would you say it's a good work?
Yes, sir.
Would you say it glorifies God?
Yes,
I think it's a good work. We're agreed. Soul winning is a good work. All right. Now, turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verse 9. Galatians chapter 6. We're okay now. I was humming. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, a door, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, it's all right to do good to each other, and we should. We're to edify and love each other. My friend, it's good to do good to all men. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and don't be weary in well-doing. As we have, therefore, opportunity, as we have a door open to us to do a good work, don't be weary in well-doing. We're to do good to all men. Is soul winning a good work? Yes. Then we need to do it. We need to do it. We know it's right to do. We know it's right. It's a Bible truth. It's a Bible command. Now listen up. It's a Bible command. Okay? And we see now we're accountable to God. Do you see that you're accountable to God to do this good work? Well, John 9:41 says, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. He's talking to the Pharisees. We know that soul winning is a good work. We see that. We admit it. And if we're not doing a good work, what are we doing? We're sinning. We're sinning. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. That's what the word of God says, deceiving your own selves. Now look at Matthew 23:23. I'm just trying to get you to see. You do something wrong, you think it's always an act that you've done something against the Bible or against the Word of God, against God's will. Hey, if you're not doing God's will and you know it's a good work, you've chosen to do your own thing. You've chosen to do what you want to do. And God says, that's sin. Now, I'll get to that scripture in a minute. But Matthew 23:23 says this. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. The point is, these ought you to have done, but not leave the others undone. The Pharisees like to do the outward. Everybody could see and give them praise. But Jesus said, I'm looking at the heart. Where's mercy? Where's judgment? Where's faith? Do the others, tithe, but go soul winning. We have to do both. It's a good work. And if we don't do it, to him who knoweth to do good, it is sin. James chapter 4, verse 17. We can get emotional about soul winning. And it'll last for about 10 minutes. Those emotions should be stirred from obedience, from just going and seeing. And it's a constant thing that's rehearsed in your mind and heart that there's people dying and lost out there that need Christ. And I know that because I'm simply obeying the command to go into all the world as a soul winner. You can tug on heartstrings, and I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. I'm trying to bring you face to face with the Bible. What does the Bible say? James 4, well, let's start in verse 13. Go to now, ye say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. You see, we'll just do what we want. Self-will. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Where is our faith and dependence upon God? Where it's nothing but self-will. God's known will has been put aside for what we want to do, for our will. You see? We know it's good to do, but we decided we're not going to do it. Well, if it's good to do and we don't do it, what is it? Sin. It's sin. Just mark it down in my life. I'm sinning when I'm not doing what God says is a good work. I command you to do it, and you've decided to do something else, whatever that may be. I'm just trying to show you what the Bible says. Here is the sin of omission, all right? Failing to do good when we know it. We know it. See, we have light on this thing now. We understand soul winning is a good work. We have the knowledge both of what is God's will and what is against God's will. Cain's offering wasn't God's will, and God didn't accept it. Okay? All right? Adam sinned when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. An act. But if he didn't dress and keep the garden, what God put him in there to do, guess what? He would have sinned too. He would have disobeyed God. God put him in there to dress and keep the garden. See, there's wrong acts. You steal? Nobody in here would really knowingly steal, would we? Would we just go up and take something that's not ours? Would you just lie, knowingly lie about something? Would you commit adultery? The Bible says don't do it. So you do it, you sin, right? Then there's tithing, Bible, reading your Bible, prayer, witnessing, wherever you are, being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says do it, and you don't sin. Either way, it's sin. Choosing not to do God's will is as much sin as doing what is against God's will. Now think about that. When we have light about something, we understand it's a good work. Therefore, to him who knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hey, it's clearly spelled out in Matthew chapter 28. Go back to Matthew 28, please. It's clearly spelled out for us what we're supposed to do. Our duties are spelled out, Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's to go and evangelize the world. Starting in our own Jerusalem. It's to go and teach all nations, telling them about Jesus Christ. Teach them what the Bible says about sin and salvation and the Savior. Teach them. That's what that is. Go into all the world and teach. Go teach all nations. Acts 1:8 says, do it both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost. So it's not enough to think you're helping out putting the money in that box, maybe for the missionaries, and you're not doing it yourself. In fact, you probably won't put money in the box for the missionaries if you're not a missionary yourself. You'd have no burden to put money in there for missions. But you get a burden on your heart because you've obeyed God here. You'll say, man, they need the gospel over in Portugal too. They need the gospel over there in that other country in Asia. And they need the gospel too. And I want to help. We're supposed to baptize them. You know, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, talks about when Jesus was baptized. And John said, me baptize you? You should be baptizing me. And he said, suffer it now to be so. It becometh all righteousness. And God spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Because he was doing the right thing. We're supposed to baptize them after they get saved. Go tell them. When they get saved, we baptize them. You say, I never baptized anybody. Well, I haven't either. But the church does. The commission is to the church. And the authority of the church baptizes. So we're part of that. We're part of that when somebody gets baptized. We're making sure that they get baptized. They need to be baptized. Because they're doing They're doing what's right. Suffer it now to be so, because it becometh all righteousness. It's the right thing to do. Are they getting baptized to wash away their sins?
No.
No. Jesus got baptized. Did he have any sin? No. But it's an act of obedience, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of seeing people get baptized. We gather the church together to do that, right? And then verse 20 says, look at this. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. That's discipleship. Man, you ought to get yourself immersed in a discipleship. You ought to be in Sunday school, and you ought to be in church every chance you get. And then now they got this wicked, evil thing called the Court Bible Institute. That's horrible, I'm telling you. And the teacher, he just gives pop quizzes. No, it's a wonderful thing. I'm just kidding. But I just want to take in as much information as I can and learn more about God and this book, you see, because I'm being taught to observe all things, and I want to teach somebody else to observe all things. So I'm trying to learn all I can so I can tell somebody else. Amen. Preaching, discipleship, Sunday school, Cork Bible Institute. It's all part of the Great Commission. But you know that? We also have a co-laborer. It's God himself. He says right there in verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God's with me all the way. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. Not always, all way, all the way. I'm going to be with you every step of the way in your soul winning. Every little nook and cranny and alley you go down, everybody you talk to, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. I'm with you all the way. I like that. I like the fact that Jesus is right with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 4, look what it says. 1 Corinthians 3, 4 says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers of whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. That means we have one goal, one purpose, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are working with God to build this church. I am of Pastor Ledbetter, and I am of Tony Manny, and I am of Bill Daunt. They're just working together. We're his sheep. We're his flock, you see. And we're not divided in that way. All we are, all each one of us are servants, ministers, and God is the one that gives the increase. All we're doing is planting seeds and watering the ground. Sometimes we planted a little bit yesterday, Bill, and we watered. I think there's a few we may have watered. But it's God that gives the increase. It's his work. It's his church. It's his building. This is all his. And we're just a part of that. And so it's good that we can bear fruit and for the master in laboring for him and with him to build this thing. It's like a farm, you see. That word down there in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God's putting this thing together, and we're just working with him to build his church. I think it's really neat. I love it. You know, it's like a sheep farm. We're all sheep, and we're supposed to make more sheep, but he's the shepherd. They're his sheep, really. We're all his sheep, but we're sheep, and we're helping make more sheep, but they're all his sheep. It's his flock. Anyway, that gets me going. God himself is the foundation in Ephesians chapter 2. It says he's fitly putting this whole thing together. And who is the foundation? Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, built on the apostles and the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets. But Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and he's the foundation. I'm just glad that I'm not in this alone. I'm just glad I'm not in this alone, and that the Lord and me are a majority. Man, if God's with me, then who can be against me? God's on my side. And I want to be yoked up with Jesus. And it says, we're working together, right? We're all together in this thing. And if we all get out of the wagon and start pulling the wagon. So I'd like to say, if you're in the wagon, get out and start helping pull the wagon along, all right? Because Jesus Christ is the one that's doing most of the pulling here. But we all need to get out of the wagon and start pulling the wagon. Amen? It's a command. It also provides for future direction. These doors of evangelism. very quickly, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You see now, the door of evangelism is a command. It's not an option. You don't decide whether you want to go soul winning. You're either obeying the Lord or you're disobeying the Lord. But it's also provides direction for you. If you'll just obey the Lord in this area of your life, it will provide direction for future decisions that you have to make, believe it or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now, Paul's in the field. He's sowing the seed. He's reaping. He's laboring. He's serving. But God is leading. God is leading in this whole thing. And, you know, when I first got saved, and I'll be saved 20 years this June. And when I first got saved in June of 1990, I just started to study the Scriptures. I started to get into the Word of God. And if you're recently saved, you need to just study the Word of God. You need to be in your Bible. Amen? So I got saved and I started to study. And then I started doing what the Bible told me to do. Now, maybe I was just dumb enough to, I don't know. But when they said to go soul winning, I went soul winning. And I was as scared as the next person. But I just got hooked up with this thing of soul winning, and I just did it. And I went out because it was the right thing to do. And then I stayed at it, you see. I just kept doing it. I didn't stop and start. We just kept going and getting more and more involved. And God kept using me more and more. And I know that the more I humbled myself, the more God used me. And then he singled me out. Then he began to single me out in the early part of 2002, 2000, and when Pastor Craig came and preached the missions conference at our church, he singled me out and he said, "Now I want you to do something else. You know, I'm calling you to a greater service here." And my heart started to wrestle with this thing about missions. I'd already been on a missions trip, but now I went to Ireland and God singled me out, and then God sent me. Then God sent me, and now here I am serving in Ireland. Hey. I'm telling you, God just provided a direction for me. He just kept opening doors because the first door opened of faith. I got saved, and I just started staying at it. I just started doing what God told me to do. And when you do, God just directs your life, and he singles you out. And if you'll just humble yourself, God will have you serving somewhere, whether it be here or in your neighborhood or just serving the Lord. And you see in verse 4 there of chapter 16, "And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come to you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go." He's not even sure. "For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit." Do you see a man who's calling his own shots here? No, I see a man who surrendered his will to God. And God just directing his path. He says, "I think I'm going to be here, and I hope I see you again, and I'm hoping to go this route here." But God's directing this whole thing wherever I go, and finally makes a decision. "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." He must have got direction from God, because then a great door swings open, right? A great door swings open, and yes, there's a lot of adversaries. No matter what you try to do for God, believe me, there'll be adversaries. This is a battle. This is a battle, and the devil hates it. And there's people out there that hate God, and they don't know it yet, but God loves them, and we need to tell them. But there's plenty of adversaries, and there's even adversaries that'll keep you from doing what's right. There'll be people that'll just try to drag you back and pull you back, but don't be dismayed. This is a battle. But take heart. Quit ye like men, amen? Because we've already won the war. The war is over. We win. But we just got to get through these battles, amen? We're on the winning side. So don't be surprised. Take heart and be strong. And God will provide future direction just like he did the Apostle Paul. He wasn't special. He was just a man who submitted his life to God. And God used him in a great way. And God wants to do the same thing with you. Finally, God's open doors free us to tell others about the same freedom. It's interesting. In Acts chapter 16, in verse 26, Acts chapter 16, and in verse 26, you know the story of Paul and Silas? How they get in the prison there, and there's had stripes laid on them, and now they're in stocks, and they're praying, and it's midnight. And verse 26 says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Do you get that? Everyone's bands were loosed. God used Paul and Silas in that prison, and then he opens all the doors. He opens all the doors. And God wants to open all the doors for the people in Ireland. He wants to open those doors, and he's opening up a door of freedom for me when I got saved. He opened up a door of freedom for you when you got saved. Why? So you could tell others about this freedom that they can have in Jesus Christ. When those doors opened, it was because Paul and Silas had been singing praises to God and preaching the gospel to them. And God shook the foundations of that prison and opened the doors. Everybody's door opened up, not just the apostles' doors. God wants to make everybody free. And it's because these men were just preaching the gospel, just doing what God had told them to do. And God freed them, but he also freed them to tell others. And God is looking for some willing hearts. God is looking for some willing vessels that will serve him and show others how to be free, a humble spirit to do what God's called them to do. Look, go to Isaiah 61, and I'll just close here. God, Isaiah 61. And in verse 1. Who is this ultimately talking about? Jesus, yeah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You know, God wants to use us to preach the gospel to people who are bound up in sin, people that are oppressed, they're down, they're beaten down by this world. They're broken. Not in a humble way. They're just broken by the world. It's crushing down on them. Their own sin is crushing down on them. And Jesus Christ repeats this in the New Testament again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is not the Spirit of the Lord upon you also? He's on you to do the same thing. He's called you to be a witness. So what? Anointed me to preach good tidings unto them that are meek, broken, poor of spirit. We need to preach the gospel to people. Didn't somebody take the time to preach to you? Didn't somebody finally give you that life-saving gospel and you were free? I never was more free until that night I asked Christ to save me. And I just can't get over it. And we can tell others and they can be free. Look, he proclaims liberty to the captives. He opens the door of prisons. And I want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a part of that whole thing. So the door for evangelism, you're going to hear a lot of messages. You're going to hear a lot of good things. But I want you first to just to know that it's a command. It's a command to go. You don't have to rustle up some kind of emotion to go. You go even when you don't feel like going. The door of evangelism is a command. God opened the door, and he's opened up the gospel door that we're to go tell other people. I am the door, Jesus said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Amen. We get to tell them about the gospel door. We have a commission from God. It's our duty, and the duties are clearly laid out. Amen. We're to win them, we're to baptize them, and we're to work them, teach them, and get them to serve the Lord. And we're co-laborers with God. We're not alone in this thing. We're working together, but God's the one working with us. This is his work. The door provides future direction. And the door set us free so that we can tell others and they can be freed also. Please consider these things in your heart for this whole month. That first of all, it's a command. I just want to do what's right in the Lord's eyes. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the message. And Lord, I just, if you don't do something in some people's hearts, nothing's going to happen, God. So I just lift it up to you, and I'm praying, Lord, that you'll just work in the hearts of people. And Father, this month would only be a beginning, not the end. This month will be a beginning of getting our hearts right with you, seeing that we have a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to go into his fields, not sit at the table, go into the fields. They're white on the harvest, Lord. I pray you work in the hearts of the people during the invitation. will make some decisions in their heart for you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.